looking for an awesome place to host your draft party? Look no further than Hooters. With tons of TVs, free Wi-Fi, world-famous wings, and ice-cold beer, you're probably thinking, it doesn't get any better than that. But wait, at Hooters, it does. Every fantasy league gets a free draft kit and over $200 in Hooters swag. Join us for fantasy football, done Hooters style. Book now at Hooters.com/football. That's Hooters.com/football. See you at Hooters.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and it is presented by Hooters. Also, we like to acknowledge our friend Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, who was part of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football draft event at Hooters just a few weeks ago. We congratulate Sean Sullivan for his opening week win of all the leagues from that night. The biggest opening game, the spotlight opening game, was Sean's Bill Curry Ford team going up against Tampa Bay's Hall of Fame voter, the sage Ira Kaufman of JoeBucksFan.com. I think I spotlighted in a previous Todd Wright Fantasy Football podcast that Ira went against my general advice of you start your draft board. If you draft a QB1, he is your QB1 for week one. If you draft an RB1, that is your RB1 for week one. And you don't get cute week one. Ira sat Aaron Rodgers, who he selected, I believe, in the second or third round of the Hall of Fame Fantasy League draft, sat him for the Thursday night game against the Bears. Now, by the time that game ended, it looked like the right move. However, Ira started his QB2, Ben Roethlisberger, and by the end of that game, it looked like Ira had made the wrong move. Points weren't that different, but Aaron Rodgers did throw a touchdown pass. Ben Roethlisberger's Steelers did not even get in the end zone. But it was more than just that, so congrats to Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford for his week one win over Ira Kaufman, who did have the services of Ezekiel Elliott, but also drafted Melvin Gordon, who doesn't appear to be anywhere close to helping any fantasy owners who took the chance on him based on the week one performance of Austin Eckler and the Chargers without him. All right, so before we go any further, let me again give you my email to answer all fantasy questions. I do it one-on-one with you via email. Some gentleman did a shout-out on Twitter, and I simply wrote him and I said, if you want a fantasy question answered, you email me. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. I have returned every email that asked a fantasy question for three seasons running now, every single one. And let me go out of my way to say something about me doing this podcast as opposed to the trend in fantasy football and fantasy sports in general. I have personally been disappointed that in recent years, some content that I enjoyed, not only for fantasy purposes, but simply for entertainment purposes, because I liked who presented it, how it was presented. I enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed reading it. Has become paid. I used to watch The Fantasy Show when it was on ESPN television. It went to a paid subscription service. There were a number of things that I regularly read and attributed on this podcast to rotoworld.com. Now, there still are some things there that don't apply to what I'm about to say, such as Patrick Doherty's weekly rundown by position of fantasy plays. I think it's one of the best in the business. Now, some guys that I really enjoyed at Roto World, they left Roto World. They have started another site. I went to that site, and I found that I needed to pay for what they thought. Then I went back to Roto World. I tried to look at some things, and I know they have had a draft package before. It seems to have expanded, and they were asking me to pay for that. It seems like more and more, specific to those of us who love fantasy sports, what we like to receive, we have to pay extra for. It is not simply there. My podcast and you emailing me is absolutely free. And it is going to stay that way because myself and my friends at JoeBucksFan.com, who platform, package, and distribute all of my podcasts, we apparently know how to do something that some of these other fantasy resources that I find worthwhile don't. We get a sponsor to pay for it, so you don't have to. So when you hear the ad for Hooters on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and you hear the mentions of Bill Curry Ford on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, that's all they want. And we're done. And we talk fantasy football, and it's free to you. Now, there are other free references out there, and I applaud all of them. I just do not like the trend of how those of us who enjoy fantasy sports, we enjoy the rush of it, the entertainment of it, the fun of it. Suddenly, more and more of the things that we would like to reference, we would like to enhance our enjoyment of it, are becoming paid. I'm not sure why these services don't know how to find sponsors to actually pay for it so you don't have to. As long as I do this podcast, it will remain free. And that's also why I go out of my way to respond to every email with every fantasy question at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. For those of you who hear me every week on VEASAN, carried also on SiriusXM, talking about fantasy with my buddy Gil Alexander. It's proof a Cowboy fan and a Redskin fan can actually get along, especially even in a game week like this. I've been doing shows with Gil Alexander for years now, from his podcast days. VEASAN does not pay me to do that. I do it because I enjoy doing it for VEASAN, for Gil, for all of you. I just wish more of the fantasy content out there had sponsors or was readily available. Look, I get it. There are people in the fantasy world who need to make a living. Well, we all do in some way. But find sponsors to pay for it rather than the individual seeking the fantasy information. So I'm proud of what I do here and what I do overall to connect with you if you want, as I say, a second opinion. I don't set your lineups, just like you don't set mine. But I'll give you a second opinion, and you can use it however you see fit. All right, so again, the email, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Also, I readily invite you to just follow me on Facebook and on Instagram. I'm Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida on Facebook, and I'm at ToddWright2019 on Instagram. I do promotions of my podcast, my golf tournaments, my television appearances in Tampa Bay on Spectrum Bay News 9, and radio appearances on 102.5 The Bone, either on Drew Garabo Live or on Bone Fantasy Live, which airs every Sunday, or the Mike O Show on 102.5 The Bone, which airs on Saturday afternoon. All right, NFL Live on ESPN, good show. Does regularly Overreaction Monday. And the best Overreaction Monday is the Monday after the first NFL Sunday. So I'm borrowing, yet attributing, something I've always done in my years of national radio, local radio, and now podcasts. I attribute when someone else does something, I like it, and I use it, but I give them credit. So yes, in fantasy, there's a huge Overreaction Monday, and you need to be really careful. Look, I want you to work the waiver wire, and generally, it's early in the season on the waiver wire where you could find that Powerball Mega Millions lottery ticket. 2 years ago, it was Alvin Kamara. Last year, unless someone threw the late dart in their season-long draft, it was James Conner. There generally is a player, or more than one, that is that type of big-time fantasy performer that you can grab either late in your season-long draft that works out for you, or on waivers very early in the season. You see a touch count, you see how they're being used, and you grab them week one on waivers or week two on waivers. Here's the danger. Be careful of who you cut after 1 week or even after 2 weeks. Now, if there's a clear player that you spent a draft pick on, and it was a player that you were drafting for bench depth, maybe he was your RB3, or your wide receiver 4, or your backup quarterback. You picked two kickers for some reason. You picked two DSTs for some reason. Yeah, those are guys that are probably expendable if you want to make a waiver claim or two this week, next week, early in the season. Look, I was disappointed, like all of you, as I invested in Baker Mayfield. Mayfield in the fourth quarter alone cost some fantasy owners their fantasy game because of the three interceptions, and my leagues that I commission impose a pick six penalty, where a quarterback basically for throwing a pick six loses the same 4 points, standard scoring, that he would get if he threw a touchdown for his team, 4 points. So Mayfield cost me a number of points in a game that I lost in my foundation league, although there were other reasons why I lost that game. Devontae Adams did not get a red zone target in the Thursday night game against the Bears. He had a significantly lower percentage of catches to targets than he normally does. It's week one. The Bears played great defense on him and on the Packers in general. I'm not overreacting to that. I'm just disappointed Devontae Adams, as my wide receiver one and first round pick, didn't have a better game. So let me lay out, and this is based on mostly standard scoring, from all the week one games, the biggest performers, and I'm going to start at the top with Sammy Watkins and work our way down. Now listen for how many names in your season-long draft you were talking about in the draft process. Sammy Watkins, number one from week one, with nearly 38 points. Lamar Jackson, number two, roughly 33.5 points. Dak Prescott, number three, roughly 33.5 points. Austin Eckler, number four, roughly 33.5 points. Christian McCaffrey, finally, right? McCaffrey was fifth. Considered all draft season until Elliott signed as one of the big three. McCaffrey produced nearly 33 points. Deshaun Watson, widely considered QB2 in ADP throughout the draft season, as I call it, nearly 31 points off his Monday night play. The Niners DST with the two pick sixes of Jameis Winston. I love DraftKings, but I said on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast and on the Bucks Bulletin as well, which is a specific weekly breakdown brought to you by Brandon Legal Group, that is a fantasy breakdown of the Bucks game each week, and their opponent, DraftKings, had Jameis as the third highest priced quarterback in fantasy week one. I openly question that. I use DraftKings as a resource. To me, I red flagged that. Jameis was awful. DraftKings was wrong. It was the Niners DST that was the play against Jameis Winston with the two pick sixes. And they put up 29 points in standard scoring leagues. Derrick Henry picking up where he left off at the end of last year with nearly 28 points. John Ross. Yeah, that name. John Ross, nearly 28 points. Matt Stafford, nearly 28 points. Deshaun Jackson, 27.5 points. Pat Mahomes, there's your QB1. There's your MVP. A little over 27 points. Case Keenum, a little over 27 points. Brown for Baltimore in what, 12 snaps? Nearly 27 points. So let's stop there. All right, how many did I just give you? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I just gave you the top 14 scores from week one of fantasy. Now let's count how many of them the majority of us drafted to be a starter on our teams. Not Sammy Watkins, not Lamar Jackson. Maybe Lamar Jackson was drafted to be a starter in 14 or 16 team leagues. I'll hedge on 12, I'll say no. And anything lower, I'll say no, that he was at best drafted to be a QB2. Dak Prescott, same thing. I think he was drafted to be a QB2 in 12-team leagues or lower, perhaps a starter in leagues of 14 or 16. Austin Eckler, more people were taking the plunge on Melvin Gordon than on Eckler. Christian McCaffrey, okay, there's one. So of the first five, only one was drafted to even play week one. Let's keep going. Deshaun Watson, you definitely drafted him to play him. That's two out of six. Niners DST. All right, I've removed DSTs from most of my leagues because you can mix and match those. Let's just go on to Derrick Henry. Did you draft Derrick Henry to be your RB2? I'll say it's 50-50 you did. I think most of you might have drafted Derrick Henry to be an RB2/3. John Ross, nobody drafted him. People were drafting A.J. Green, even though he was going to miss a month plus. Not John Ross. Matt Stafford, nope. Not drafting Matt Stafford to be a starting quarterback week one. I don't even think in 16-team leagues. Deshaun Jackson, yeah, I think people were drafting him, but I don't think they were drafting him to be a starter. Maybe a wide receiver 3. Pat Mahomes, absolutely. QB1. Case Keenum, nope. Gil Alexander can tell me if I'm wrong. I'm going to say less than 9% of season-long fantasy drafts was Case Keenum even selected. Brown from Baltimore. No. One of two rookie receivers with the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to say picked in about as many leagues as Case Keenum was. And we're going to stop there. So the only real names of those top, 15 that you drafted to be starters were McCaffrey, Hopkins, and Mahomes. That's it. So 80% of the biggest performers were not the ones featured in draft season. Don't overreact. Now, as far as Sammy Watkins is concerned, even ProFootballTalk.com had a feature on him within the last 24 hours talking about, can he keep this going now that Tyreek Hill, who many of you invested a first or early second round pick on to be a starting wide receiver, is out for a few weeks. I have my doubts. However, would I be interested in Watkins as a waiver claim if I had an expendable spot? Sure. Because Hill is out, and because Watkins plays on an offense quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes. Let's move to Lamar Jackson. That Ravens offense looked magnificent. Look, I owned Lamar Jackson last year in my podcast league, and he was my quarterback that got me into the playoffs. How much of that, however, was how bad the Miami Dolphins not only are, but the lack of how hard they played in week one. But Lamar Jackson had an awesome week one. I doubt he was a starter. I mean, most people knew the Dolphins were going to be bad. I think even Vegas had the Ravens as roughly a touchdown favorite on the road. You know, the lines on the Dolphins now are going to be double digits going forward until we see otherwise, unless they're playing another really, really bad team, like, say, the Buccaneers. Dak Prescott, don't imagine many of you started him. And he was QB2 and overall number three. Now, if Austin Eckler, well, let's just talk a little bit. If Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott are available, well, let's talk about quarterback a little bit. For example, if you're like me and you invested in Baker Mayfield, now I'm keeping an eye on, you know, what's going on with the tackle situation in Cleveland, and Baker Mayfield, I guess, had his hand or wrist x-rayed. Sure, pay attention to all that. But for me to go away from Mayfield in week two in a Monday night game, and I always like having guys in Monday night game because you'd rather be able to score points on Monday night rather than be stagnant in your points where your opponent has someone on Monday night and they can surge past you. Mayfield will be my starting quarterback unless I have an injury concern on Monday night. But if, let's say you didn't draft a backup quarterback, or let's say your backup quarterback was Nick Foles, then sure, claiming Lamar Jackson or claiming Dak Prescott on waivers seems to be a sensible decision based on how they played in week one. If no one drafted Austin Eckler in your league, absolutely. I would imagine he's going to be one of the more popular waiver claims. There's no reason why you would not want to roster Austin Eckler. Even more so, I think, than Sammy Watkins. Hill is only going to be out for a limited amount of time. It certainly feels like Gordon Melvin is going to be out for a significant amount of time. The concern on Eckler is, at some point, he's going to put the ball on the ground. And how Anthony Lynn, one of my favorite head coaches in the league, handles that situation, because some coaches will not tolerate running backs who fumble. And Eckler has a history of it, and it's the reason why he hadn't gotten more playing time before now, which was out of necessity due to Melvin Gordon. Then we're down to McCaffrey, we're down to Deshaun Watson, Derrick Henry. I don't imagine Derrick Henry is on waivers. John Ross is probably on waivers. No. I don't think so. I don't think you do that. Nope. that might be as much of a one-off as any of who we're talking about in week one. DeSean Jackson, if he's on waivers, sure. Get him while he's hot. Starting off this season, just like he started off last season with Fitzmagic in Tampa Bay. Case Keenum, no thanks. Brown with Baltimore, again, he only played about 12 snaps. Sure, he put up huge numbers, but there's more reasons to believe that we need to see more from Brown. You know, you not only like touches and targets, but you like guys who are on the field. He only played, 12 or 13 snaps? That's not enough to get me real excited about adding him to my roster at the expense of someone else, unless I just have an open spot. Also, let me spotlight Marlon Mack a little bit. Now, Mack sort of has a history of putting up numbers in a game or two and then having an off game or two. Mack as a running back is kind of like a wide receiver, where even most good wide receivers are going to have off games, like every third game or every fourth game. Mack's kind of like that. But at least in the first game of the Andrew Luck currently retired era, the Colts leaned heavily on Mack, even though game flow was not in his favor because the Chargers had the big lead and Mack still put up 25 and a half fantasy points. For those of you like me who took the plunge on Dalvin Cook, a guy who not as much as Nick Chubb, but similarly moved up in draft season, Chubb kept moving up on draft boards into RB1 territory. Cook was moving from the kind of the top of RB2 tier into RB1/2 tier, might have even worked his way to the back of some first rounds or early second rounds. Cook paid off in week one in a win against the Atlanta Falcons in a battle of what I call two fantasy football teams, because I don't think they're playoff material, but I think they're going to produce a lot of fantasy points. Matt Ryan still produced a lot of fantasy points in what otherwise was a dog game for the Falcons. Dalvin Cook certainly did for the Vikings. Adam Thielen did okay as well. Let me move down to Josh Jacobs, a rookie who got the key touches. Gruden still used Washington. He still used Rashard. But when the Raiders got close to the goal line, and it seemed like everyone knew it was coming, Jacobs got the touches. Jacobs was getting a number of key touches on third down as well. That was a solid rookie debut for Josh Jacobs. I'm happy I invested in my foundation league. Felt that was I drafted him as my RB2 behind Ezekiel Elliott and got good value on him in the fourth round. As long as he can hold up, Jacobs is someone who Gruden brought in to use a lot, and now without Antonio Brown, may be used as much as long as he can take the punishment of the National Football League. All right, we'll stop there. Let me make some other observations. Just again, have a little balance. You know, I was just telling you, you know, how I invested in Dalvin Cook and it paid off week one. I invested in Baker Mayfield and it didn't pay off in week one. That could as easily reverse in week two. Mayfield could give me the 20 plus fantasy points I'm looking for at the quarterback position in week two, and Dalvin Cook could, you know, give me six. There's going to be back and forth. You have to look at the bigger picture before you start making knee-jerk reactions on dumping players you invested high draft picks on to be the foundation of your fantasy team. With these waivers this week, next week, and throughout the season, you're looking to add to the foundation of your draft, not blow it up. If you're blowing up your draft, then you got a problem. Nick Foles injury. He goes on injured reserve with the designation to come back later in the season. If things go bad for the Jags, I don't know why they'd bring back Foles, because he could risk breaking the clavicle again. This basically downgrades everyone on your roster if you had any Jaguars there. It does. It knocks them down. Good luck to Minshew, a quarterback I liked watching in college in the Pac-12, but this is not what the Jaguars signed up for. My Moneyball League. This is the league where I challenged. It's an 8-team league, and I only had the first overall pick and no other draft picks. All other 7 owners did a snake traditional draft, and after they finished, I had 72 hours to choose my team from undrafted free agents and lock it in. I lost to a gentleman named Tulio because Tulio got a second touchdown out of Josh Jacobs late in the Raider game against the Broncos. Otherwise, I would have won my week one game with only one draft pick, and that was Saquon Barkley. So I think I've put together a decent roster, and now I get to build it more from waivers and trades going forward. But I was a loser in week one of Moneyball against Tulio. However, I did outscore about half of the owners overall. Todd Gurley, those of you that took the plunge on Gurley, you're still not sure what you got after the Rams win at Carolina and Brown getting the 2 touchdowns, and even Henderson got a red zone touch. Tyrell Williams, there could be another guy that most of you didn't draft, available on waivers. He's now the number one wide receiver in Oakland by default, and looked pretty good the other night. Williams was always a guy, the Chargers always have just all these receivers. Heck, he wasn't even the only Williams wide receiver on the Chargers. Perhaps this will be good for him. Yeah, I'd say Williams might be worth investing in on waivers, as long as you're not cutting someone who clearly still has value that you drafted. Okay, that covers all my notes from week one. Look, there's plenty more there. But again, I'll answer your specific questions at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. And we'll have another Todd Wright Fantasy Football podcast later in the week. And remember, the spinoff of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football podcast, which is the Bucks Bulletin, presented by Brandon Legal Group. I'll have to crank that out probably tomorrow for the Thursday game between the Bucks and the Panthers, with a full fantasy breakdown on Bucks and Panthers in Bucks Bulletin Week 2. Subscribe to this podcast and tell your friends. And again, email me at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks to Hooters. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford. By sponsoring this, allow you to have this content for free. And I wish there was more of that than the trend otherwise in our fantasy universe. Thank you for listening to yet another free edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.